Well, with all the stuff going on in the news at the moment, it's not surprising that some things seem to be slipping under the radar, one of which is a pretty significant change to trust law. And I know that that sounds, that's nothing to do with me. You're going to be surprised. I'm so surprised about this that we've actually got not only a solicitor, we've got a solicitor and an accountant on the line. I'm joined on the line by Zara Bracegirdle from Woodfines and Anikita Kushu from CKLG. Hello to you both.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. Anikita, let's start with you. What's the situation at the moment? And then let's talk about what's changing.
Yeah, so the trust registration service was something that was introduced by HMRC a number of years ago now. And the idea of it was to improve transparency over the beneficial ownership of assets. So where you've got somebody holding assets as a trustee on behalf of somebody else, they just wanted to kind of keep up to date with the money laundering regulations. At the time, it was the fourth anti-money laundering directive. And it required all taxable trusts, so any trust with a UK tax liability, that could have been income tax, capital gains tax, inheritance tax, stamp duty, anything. If you have that UK tax liability, the trustees needed to register that trust on this trust registration service, which we call TRS for short. So that was sort of introduced a number of years ago. And recently there's been a new anti-money laundering directive introduced. And as part of that, HMRC have sort of updated the registration requirements to meet the requirements for that.
Okay, so what are we talking about when we talk about trust? Is this a physical thing, the Neil Whiteside Benevolent Trust or something like that? Or how does it work?
So I'd say that when we talk about trusts, we basically mean owning property on behalf of somebody else. So it could be the Neil Whiteside Benevolent Trust. It could mean the trust that was set up because you helped your kids buy their first home. It could be a trust that you set up for grandchildren or children to help, you know, help set up a pension fund or money for when they finish university or a university fund. It could be any sort of arrangement, basically, where somebody different from the legal owner has a right to the asset, essentially. So the legal owner would be the trustee, and the person who has the right to the assets would be the beneficiary.
So somewhere along the line, there'll be a piece of paper about this. There'll be something in writing, probably between the two of you.
There will probably be something in writing, but to be honest, trust law does extend to what we call implied trust, so it doesn't actually need to have a piece of writing. It could be an agreement that was made between the parties. So unfortunately, it's not that, we can't even say it's that straightforward. So, you know, I think if you've got any sort of arrangement where you've made to hold assets, I want to say money, but it could be any sort of asset like a house or anything, where you've got somebody who is on the name of the bank account or on the land registry title, who's different from the person who actually is going to get that money. Any arrangement like that, you really need to be speaking to your solicitor, your accountant, to find out whether you have got a trust arrangement there. And it is a trust arrangement that's going to be caught by this new fifth money laundering directive, which would require registration on the trust registration services.
Okay. Now, how easy is it to register and when's this got to be done by?
So the deadline for registration is the 1st of September this year. You can register it yourself. The government has set up to allow trustees, so the people who are on the legal title essentially, or names are on the bank account, to register it themselves. And solicitors, accountants, other agents can also register the trust on your behalf as agents. If you want to register the trust yourself, I'd probably say, it's going to sound pretty basic, but I'd probably say the best place to start is on the gov.uk website. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of information on gov.uk. And if you typed into the search engine, manage your trust's details or register a trust as a trustee, then you'll basically bring up the webpage within gov.uk that will talk you through the types of trusts that need registering and how to register it. They've tried as much as possible, I'd have to say, to sort of remove the legal jargon to make it plain for people to read through themselves. But as always, if in doubt, probably best to speak to a professional.
Now, on the subject of that, and Ikeda, as accountants, I guess you're the ones who are perhaps, you know, obviously as solicitors would find, well, the sort of people who would action something, maybe action something like that if they're in regular touch with a client. You're certainly in regular touch with your clients. And I guess each year as you're talking about tax returns and everything, that's where this would come up. If they don't register, are there penalties?
Yeah, so I mean, it's interesting you mentioned, you know, it would come up annually when we do the tax returns. That was the case previously because it was only, the rules only extended to taxable trusts. So when we did the tax returns or when we did inheritance tax returns, we would automatically flag up to the client, you know, oh, you need to register this trust or you need to do the annual declaration to say that the register is up to date. Now, because of this extension, it's nothing to do with tax. So there are arrangements that we simply wouldn't know about necessarily. That now do need registering. So one you were talking about sort of what counts as a trust earlier. One thing that surprises a lot of our clients is a bank account set up by a parent, say for their child. That is technically a trust arrangement because it's the difference in beneficial legal ownership because the parent's name's on the child's bank account. Now, luckily, HMRC have included that as an exclusion. So that's not required to be registered, but it just goes to show kind of what range of things can be treated as a trust. So in terms of penalties, I know the penalties are going to be starting at £100 if you haven't registered any existing trust by the 1st of September. I think the idea is that they will increase after that. I'm not sure on the details on that. But I've read that if you haven't registered and you find yourself with an upcoming large tax liability, the penalties can be in the range of thousands of pounds. So it's definitely better to just sort of get it dealt with. It's not that complicated a process, so definitely better to just get it registered.
Okay, now, I'll just, if anyone from HMRC is listening, I don't have any trusts. Okay, let's just be clear about this. So this next question is just a hypothetical one on behalf of any of our listeners. But what if someone says, what if I don't tell them?
I would say that if you don't tell HMRC, obviously, as you mentioned before, we'll get penalties. They would probably find it through other arrangements. So, for example, if the trust did produce any income, if let's say you passed away and you were trying to make an argument to say this money didn't belong to me, I know it's my name on the bank account, but actually it's being held on behalf of somebody else. Or if, let's say, you own a house, but actually the ownership of the house is spread between a number of people and you in your tax return are claiming that the income from that house didn't all belong to you, or the capital gain made on that house didn't all belong to you because it was owned by other people. If that trust arrangement wasn't actually registered on TRS, then it might be harder to make that argument at the time, as well as you might also then get a penalty for not having registered it when you're meant to have registered it by the deadline. So I would say that it's most likely to get picked up when you're doing another transaction relating to that asset, and it needs to be declared with HMRC.
Okay, so there we are. That deadline is looming. It's the 1st of September, and you really do need to get your act together. It sounds like it's fairly straightforward. So the sort of thing that if you do get in touch with your solicitor or your accountant, it can be remedied fairly quickly, but something that everyone needs to be thinking of doing.
Absolutely. And it's also going to be harder for professionals to contact clients because this is not just talking about trusts where there's an income, so you'd be speaking to your accountant or a solicitor regularly about it. It could be arrangements that were set up a number of years ago and people have sort of forgotten about it, or it just is left and they wouldn't be speaking to a professional regularly about it. So it's really, the onus is up to the individual to have a look at how they hold their assets, any arrangements they have set up in the past. If that arrangement was in existence at the 1st of October 2020, even if it's ended subsequently, that arrangement would need to be registered on TRS. So really the onus is on the individual to have a look at how they own assets and, if in doubt, speak to a professional.
All right, well, there we go. So as I say, that deadline coming up, it's looming. Never's been a better time to talk to your solicitor or your accountant or both, in which case, Zara Brace-Girdle from Woodfine Solicitors and Anikita Kushu from CKLG Accountants. Thanks very much indeed for talking to me today.
Thank you.